"What's wrong?" someone bawled. "What is it?" Sandy turned and saw Herb Avery on the back step. His eyes were wild, and he had his Ruger in his hand. Sandy opened his mouth, and at first nothing came out but a phlegmy little wheeze. Beside him, George hadn't even turned. He was still looking through the window, mouth hanging slack in an idiot's gape. Sandy took a deep breath and tried again. What was meant for a shout emerged as a faint, punched-in-the-belly wheeze, but at least it was something. "Everything's okay, Herb. 5 by 5. Go back inside."
"Then why did you—"
"Go inside." There, that's a little better, Sandy thought. "Go on now, Herb, and holster that piece." Herb looked down at the gun as if unaware until then that he had drawn it. He put it back in his holster, looked at Sandy as if to ask, was he sure? Sandy made little flapping gestures with his hands and thought, "Granny Dearborn says go back inside, Dad, rat it." Herb went, yelling for Mr. D to shut up that foolish barking as he did. Sandy turned back to George, who had gone white. It was breathing, Sandy. Or trying to. The gills were moving and the side was going up and down. Now it stopped. His eyes were huge, like the eyes of a child who has been in a car accident. "I think it's dead." His lips were quivering. "Man, I hope it's dead." Sandy looked in. At first he was sure George was wrong. The thing was still alive, still breathing, or trying to breathe. Then he realized what he was seeing and told George to get the video cam out of the hutch. "Oh, what about the—" "We won't need the rope, because we're not going in there. Not yet we're not, but get the camera, fast as you can." George went around the side of the garage, not moving very well. Shock had made him gawky. Sandy looked back into the shed, cupping his eyes to the sides of his face to cut the red sunset glare. There was motion in the shed, all right, but not life's motion. It was mist, rising from the thing's silver side, and also from the purple slashes of its gills. The bat thing hadn't decomposed, but the leaves had, and quickly. This thing was starting to rot like the leaves, and Sandy had the feeling that once the process really got going, it would go fast. Even standing outside with the closed door between him and it, he could smell it. An acrid, watery reek of mixed cabbage and cucumber and salt, the smell of a broth you might feed to someone if you wanted to make them sicker instead of well. More mist was rising from its side. It dribbled up from the nest of tangled pink ropes that seemed to serve as its head as well. Sandy thought he could hear a faint hissing noise, but knew he could just as well be imagining it. Then a black slit appeared in the grayish silver scales, running north from the tattered nylon of its tail to the rearmost gill. Black fluid, probably the same stuff Huddy and Archie had found around the bat thing's corpse, began to trickle out, listlessly at first, then with a little more spirit. Sandy could see an ominous bulge developing behind the split in the skin. It was no hallucination, and neither was the hissing sound. The fish was doing something more radical than decomposing. It was giving in, yielding to the change in pressure, or perhaps the change in everything, its whole environment. He thought of something he'd read once, or maybe seen in a National Geographic TV special, about how when some deep-sea creatures were brought up from their dwelling places, they simply exploded. "George!" bawling at the top of his lungs. "Hurry the hell up!" George flew back around the corner of the shed, holding the tripod way up high where the aluminum legs came together. The lens of the video cam glared above his fist, looking like a drunk's eyeball in the day's declining red light.